Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Now back to ringside with the voice of small business and the champion of the entrepreneur.
Say it now, gentlemen. Undisputed heavyweight champion of the world.
The Small Business Advocate, Jim Blasingame.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. It's my pleasure to continue to be with you as I continue to broadcast from Houston, Texas. Helping out here working with the admin staff folks. They're having their annual sales and marketing conference. And it's a lot of fun. I always love getting together with people of like mind, people who are working as a team to find better ways to serve their customers. I bet you're doing that with your company right now. If you haven't already, you're probably working on it right now. If you're not, you probably need to get started on that. It's not too late, but you need to get going. You're going to be glad you hung out with us because our good buddy Bill Dunkelberg is with us. Bill is a longtime member of our Brain Trust, chief economist for the National Federation of Independent Business, NFIB, and also professor of economics at Temple University, and our good friend. And once a month, for the last several decades, Bill has been polling small business owners just like you, thousands of small business owners across the country, to ask them about what's going on out there in the world, what's happening across the country, how's the economy looking, what are some of the elements of your business that you're dealing with, and are you happy, or are you unhappy, what's going on? And he puts that information into a report, and he delivers to a lot of people, and we're one of the beneficiaries of his work, and we appreciate him for that. Bill Dunkelberg, welcome back to the show.
Oh, thank you, and good morning.
It's good to have you back, as always, Bill, and I want you to know, as you know, we very much appreciate the hard work that you do on behalf of small business. Your work is very important because it is the work that you do with this report and the compiling of the information and the historical records that you have that help us see, you know, what did we learn in the past? How can we use that in the future? That's unique in the world, and I know you know that, but I just wanted to tell my audience that, folks, that there are not too many people who are unique in the world in what they do, and Bill's work on behalf of small business is unique, Bill, and we thank you for that.
Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate that. I did get invited to come over and speak to the OECD, the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, about SME financing issues and so on.
Small
so
business,
I'll be doing that at the end of March. And I was down in Texas this week. I was down at NFIB's state meeting. And
Austin. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, nice state.
Oh, it's a great state.
Yeah.
Now tell us about this OECD. What are you going to be telling them there?
Well, I'm going to be trying to show them the difference between the banking system that we have that serves small businesses out there and the eight banks in Wall Street that are having difficulty in creating this incredible problem that we have.
Right. So they need to hear that, don't they?
They do. They do. And, of course, other countries don't have the well-developed kind of community banking system, the very competitive banking systems that we have. They tend to be dependent much more on very large banks and very few of them. So the small business owners in the United States get served much better in terms of their financial needs than do the small business counterparts in, say, Canada or in Great Britain because of the difference in the banking system. Nothing like a little competition.
My audience knows. Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right. And my audience knows, Bill, that, I mean, I'm on record. I've got the record. I've got the thousands of archives where I have said for the last 11 and a half years that one of the greatest things one of the greatest advantages that small businesses have in America is the system, the organization of independent community banks, which, who, by the way, as you know, Bill, the community banks are meeting at their annual conference in Phoenix right now, even as we speak, and my good friend Mike Menzies, who's a regular guest on our show and a longtime Brain Trust member, he's the incoming chairman of the ICBA.
All right.
And so their meeting is, we speak, folks. I talked earlier about organizations getting together to find out how they can serve their customers better. That's what the ICBA is doing right now. But, Bill, I've been telling small business owners for a long time that I don't even want to imagine what my small business would be like without the independent community bank that's been supporting me working with me for a long, long time. In fact, I've been happy to say, Bill, that if it weren't for Independent Community Bank, I would not be standing.
Yeah, it's difficult for those. It's difficult for those mega banks to engage in relationship banking and get to know your business.
Right, but yet, Bill, look at the stimulus package. Look at what happened. Look at the details of the stimulus package. I don't think there's anything in there for those little banks, and there's virtually nothing in there for business. What's wrong with that picture, Bill?
You're exactly right. Here we are. We produce half the private sector GDP. And we employ, you know, way over 60% of the private sector labor force. And we're the ones who are really the engine of growth. And we're the ones who get the economy on the move again. And we pass an $800 billion bill with really not a nickel for small business owners in there.
Or those who support us. Hold on to that thought, Bill. I got to take a quick break. 20 till the hour, folks. All right, Bill Duckenberg and I will be right back with his report. Stay with us.
A sugar and spine. I feel nice.
Welcome back. It's Team Till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thanks very much for staying with me. Thanks for being part of my day. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Hope you check it out when you get a chance. We built it for you. My blog is there. My knowledge base is there. AskJim.biz. My newsletter, you can check it out and subscribe to that. You can see what it looks like. And we'll send you a copy every Sunday afternoon by email, get you ready for the week ahead. You can listen to your little heart's content. You can read. If you got 5 seconds, if you got 15 minutes, we got something that will help you in any of those, anywhere in between 5 seconds and 15 minutes. Lots of different things to help you with your small business. I hope you use it to your advantage. Bill Duckenberg is our guest, and we're talking about his. We're going to allow him to give us the report on his NFIB Small Business Economic Trends Report. And Bill, I went through your summary here, and I'm sorry, at least one up arrow, and one sideways arrow, but it looks like the others are kind of down. What do you think?
Yeah, that's true. We have 10 components in that index, and we actually had 4 or 5 of them go up. Credit conditions improved, the outlook for credit conditions. The percent who thought the economy would be better 6 months from now actually gained a bit. The inventory picture improved a bit, and the percent planning to make capital outlays went up a couple points, but that was not enough to carry the day because we had a big decline, of course, in the earnings component and in the inventory investment component. So when the dust cleared, the index was down about a point and keeps us at one of the lowest readings we've seen in the 35 years we've been doing the survey.
Right, right.
Not
and,
good.
And of course, this is history, right? I mean, this isn't an outlook for the future. This is what happened last month, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, and we'll get Bill to talk to us about where he thinks we're going with this. But layoffs continue, don't they, Bill?
Layoffs are still pretty strong, and especially the big companies, of course, are laying off very heavily, as we see in the news. But we also have been shedding labor. It's about 80% of our costs, running the business on average for the small firm. And so when the consumer didn't ride to the rescue in the fourth quarter this time, we found we had too much labor. And, of course, in order to stay in business, we had to cut costs. And that's when we cut costs, that's labor. It's been pretty heavy.
Right. What about capital spending? What are small business owners tell you about their interest in capital spending?
Well, we were glad to see that go up finally. It went up a couple of points, and that's good. Still historically low, but, it's not bumping on the bottom now. And so it's things like that that are going to get us out of the recession, of course, not the government programs. The longer we don't buy cars, the longer we don't build houses, the longer we don't make those improvements that we need in the firm or buy that new piece of equipment or replace the truck, the bigger the pool of pent-up demand. And at some point, we'll all realize that even if we have 8% unemployment, most people are working and things are kind of okay. And then so we'll start making the expenditures that will move the economy back out of this.
Uptick in the capital expenditures and a little bit of an uptick in capital availability, that's kind of a good forward-looking sign, isn't it?
Absolutely. And again, it's not you know, there's not a problem really in getting the financing for a lot of this. It's harder to borrow now than it was in 2003 when the expansion was just starting. Mm-hmm. That's always the case. But nonetheless, you know, the credit's available out there. All the little banks in our area are advertising, literally advertising, we have money to lend. You know, come and talk to us.
Right. Profits are down. That's pretty much a given this year, right?
Yeah, the profit picture is really bad for a couple of reasons. One, sales picture is very grim. Everybody's reporting declining sales. And, of course, also we have a remarkable surge in price cutting going on here. So when you're cutting prices and you have fewer customers, that's not good for the bottom line. So we see a lot of reports of declining profits, and we probably will, you know, see that for a few more months yet before that turns around.
The things I've been encouraging my audience to do, as have a number of my Brain Trust members, is this: profits are going to take a hit this year. There's, I mean, almost, I don't know how you, who can avoid that. Maybe you can. If you can, congratulations. Show me how. But what I've been, a couple of things we've been reminding them about is don't discount so much as give things away. In other words, don't lower your, if you're a consultant, for example, you charge $100 an hour, don't discount your rate to 85, because that's the new value. Keep your rate at 100, but give the customers an hour for free or something.
That's right. Give them a bonus.
Yeah, give them a bonus, because you can take the bonus away, but it's harder to claw that those rates back up, those prices back up.
That's exactly right. That's good advice. Keep your price, maintain your price, but add value one way or another.
The other thing, Bill, that I've been telling them is cash has always been king, but in 2009 it's the emperor. What do you think?
Exactly right, and that's, of course, what we're all doing. It's why we're postponing inventory investment, why so few of us are moving ahead with capital expenditures. You don't do anything you don't absolutely have to do because you want to save cash. You want to make sure it's there if you need it so you can conserve cash. And that, of course, slows the economy down now, but eventually, you know, builds us the liquidity that we need to move ahead when we find the sign things are okay and we start spending.
Right. And, of course, the other thing is, as I remind people, somebody's buying something from somebody somewhere right now. Might as well be
right.
You.
I mean, the main reason the economy's in a recession is not what's happening to unemployed people. It's that the 93 out of 100 people who have a job and want it cut back on their spending. And so it's you and me who, if you will. It's the folks who are working who cut back, and that's what caused retail sales to dive, and that's what happened to us.
Well, and that's because of the fear that a lot of people have, whether you've got a job or don't have a job. There's a lot of fear in the marketplace right now, folks. And that's inside our head. We can do that ourselves. Think of retail right back after these messages. Stay with me. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. My pleasure as always. Bill Dunkelberg is our guest, Dr. William Dunkelberg, Professor of Economics at Temple University and also Chief Economist at the NFIB, the National Federation of Independent Business. That's NFIB.com. And Bill, your report that you provide us every month, which we're so grateful for, we post it on our website. Thanks to you. We appreciate that. You post it on It's at NFIB.com. Folks, you can read more about this. It's in plain English. The way, you know, if I can understand it, you can understand it. Trust me on that one. And also, Bill, on another website too, right?
That's right. SmallBiz, not B-I-Z, smallbiz.org.
.org, and you can find it there. And, Bill, one of the things is we talked about the economic stimulus package earlier and how it's basically, I think, for small businesses. There's another thing going on right now. Yesterday, the president released his I guess, mortgage bailout plan. I'm not sure exactly what the technical term is for it, but something that concerns me is, and I haven't been able to get all the details on it, but I've read enough as I can, and here's what I'm gleaning from this, Bill. If you live in a neighborhood, you've been there for 10 years, 8 years, let's say you've been there 8 years, and you bought a house, and you stretched a little bit in the beginning because you, I think everybody should stretch a little bit in the house they buy just a little more than they need right at the moment, because you're going to grow into it. Your income's going to grow, and I think that's okay. So you did that 8 years ago. You bought a fixed rate mortgage. You got a fixed rate mortgage, but the guy who, and then I move in next to you, and I'm in a new house, and it's a big house, and it's more than I can afford. Because I bought one of those subprime mortgages. I got in one of those deals that's toxified the whole mortgage industry, the whole economy, and has created all these problems. The single big reason why it did. Now the president's going to give me relief for that. He's going to help me stay in my home. But in the process of this, you've lost your job because the economy's gone bad. And so there's a chance. There are quite a few scenarios, I believe, out there, Bill, where you'll lose your job because you've lost your job. I mean, I'm sorry, you'll lose your house because you've lost your job because of me and people like me who have bought this house that's more than I can afford, but yet there's the program out there that'll help me stay in my house. So what's wrong with that picture, Bill?
That's the usual government role here. The government... You know, the market, of course, is trying to sort out the people who performed well versus the ones who didn't, who made good decisions versus those who didn't. And the government is helping everybody who made a bad decision. So we're pouring tons of money into car companies who made bad decisions. We're going to give tons of money to consumers who made bad decisions. And all this is at the expense of the ordinary taxpayer like you and me and our listeners out there who do a good job, make good decisions, hang in there. And we're providing the money for all the people who behave badly, and that's not good for the economy.
Well, and it sets a bad precedent. Moral hazard is completely out the window now. And Bill, also, I forgot to tell you that when you lose your house and you have to go rent somewhere, but you get a job back and you start paying taxes again, you're going to have to help pay for that for the money that they used to help me stay in my house.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That the people who behave well are the ones who are going to pay for all of this nonsense. The government does not have $800 billion, and it doesn't have the couple hundred billion that are supposedly going to go to the mortgage bailout program. And of course, what we find is that, you know, everybody, it's kind of like New Orleans for the nation here. Everybody is now waiting for the government to save them. So we can't move ahead to fix our banks. Why? Because the government hasn't decided what to do. We can't move ahead with cleaning up the housing issue because we're waiting for the government to see what they're going to do. We can't do anything until we see what the government's going to do. And that's a bad mistake. We should have learned that lesson.
Bill, we've already have that lesson in front of us. That's what you do. Is Japan in the 90s, and they lost a decade. They lost 15 years, actually.
Correct. They lost a long time, you know, where they had no economic
because
growth
of what
at
you
all.
Just said. Yep. Because of what you just said, they didn't do what they had to do with their banks. Well, I'll tell you, Bill, I'll tell you another thing quickly, and I got to wrap it up. I'm concerned about this the implications of this bill on contracts, the sanctity of contracts. If they pierce the veil of the sanctity of contracts, Bill, it's off. Everything's over.
Yeah, well, it makes it difficult for little banks like the one I'm involved with to make loans because you're never sure what you're going to have. And, of course, if they force the banks to write down the stuff, that means we're losing savers' money. We lend $100,000, but now we have to write it down to $70,000. Well, that means savers are losing money. The bank loses money. That's not healthy for the industry or for the consumer.
Bill, I got to wrap it up. Thanks for being here, as always, today. Good job today. We'll see you next time.
My pleasure.
Bill Dunkelberg, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Bill Dunkelberg. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame. I'll be after the news. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.